This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. We're going to talk more about those tragic events in Tucson over the weekend. In the wake of that shooting that claimed 6 lives and injured 14 others, President Obama said yesterday that he hoped Arizona and the nation as a whole could begin to heal.
But I think it's going to be important, I think, for the country as a whole, as well as the people of Arizona, to feel as if we are speaking directly to our sense of loss, but also speaking to our hopes for the future and how out of this tragedy we can come together as a stronger nation.
But as the country tries to move on, the question still must be asked, why did this happen and what should we do about it? And while motives for the alleged gunman remain a mystery, many people, including the Pima County Sheriff Clarence Dubnyk, have noted that this tragic event has come at a time when political discourse is especially heated. We'll talk very specifically about the discourse of the day with the chair of one of the Tea Party groups, the Tea Party Express, and with the head of a group at the Southern Poverty Law Center that tracks hate speech and hate crimes. And we'll ask them what they think the line is between strong opinions and inappropriate rhetoric. But first, we turn to two regular contributors to this program to speak more broadly about how the political world is responding. And we'll also talk about what to expect in Congress as they get down to business next week. With us today, Cynthia Tucker, a Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and blogger for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and Mary Kate Carey, former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush and a columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. And welcome back to you both. Thank you for joining us. Happy New Year.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Michelle.
And Cynthia, I do want to say that I do know that congratulations are in order. Your alma mater, Auburn, came out on top in the bowl championship last night.
War Eagle.
Okay, so that being said, I did want to ask if you think the weekend's events will alter what some have called a particularly tense, you know, political and partisan environment right now. And I'm particularly interested in what you have to say about this as a Southerner, having lived through some very difficult days where there was a lot of outright hatred, you know, in the air. Do you think that this is one of those defining moments?
Well, I don't think that anything about this very unfortunate shooting spree in Arizona is going to change our political discourse over the long term, Michelle. I think that we're seeing something of a temporary rhetorical ceasefire, if you will, especially among members of Congress. They've been stunned by an attack on one of their own and several other people, and they've been willing to soften their rhetoric, at least temporarily. And I think that House Speaker John Boehner is unlikely to be the kind of firebrand that Newt Gingrich was anyway. Having said that, I don't think that we see the worst offenders in terms of the most venomous and vitriolic rhetoric in Congress anyway. Congress certainly has its share of offenders, but I think the worst actors are on talk radio, on television, news cable shows, on various media outlets. And they have been as vitriolic and venomous as ever in pointing fingers over what has transpired over the last several days is a whole lot of vitriol in determining whether or not vitriol was to blame for the weekend's atrocity.
Well, you know, to that point, though, you know, a lot of people have made the point that the worst offenders tend not to get elected, but some of them come awfully close. And one example that some cite is Sarah Palin, a vice presidential candidate, for her past use of incendiary language, her kind of pointing the finger at people, and her famous "Don't retreat, reload" tweet, and putting Representative Giffords, among others, in the crosshairs of a target list of political foes. Now, one of her spokespersons has since said that, no, that was a surveying. It wasn't, you know, gun sights.
Come
it was
on.
Surveying.
Yeah.
But Mary Kate Carey, I mean, does that even pass the laugh
one.
Test?
No. I don't think anybody bought that line from them. When you talk about this line between inappropriate things and energizing your base, it does seem to me, I agree with you, Cynthia, that there was a lot of inappropriate things said, starting with the sheriff, who immediately took the spotlight off of the victims, off of these amazing heroes, bystanders who rushed in, took it off the mental illness of this deranged man, and immediately broadened it into a discussion involving people who really had nothing to do with it. I think that the politicians watching all this, because what immediately happened was all these people from cable started jumping in. Paul Krugman in the New York Times, Keith Olbermann, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, they all jumped in. And the lessons to me for both sides, on the left, it seems to me you cannot have the left making their default response to violence be to blame the right. Mayor Bloomberg did it
you
right after
the Pima County Sheriff is a left, is of the left?
He's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just think there's a broader – Krugman jumped right into – I just think there's a – you can't – every time there's a shooter, you can't say he must be a Tea Partier, which is what Bloomberg did in New York. Mm-hmm. And so there's a pattern starting, and I think that's got to stop. And I think that that becomes irresponsible if the left keeps doing that. On the right, it seems what you're talking about, Sarah Palin – her mistake was in not having the political judgment to realize 6 months ago that if she put those crosshairs on there and she said things like reload, the minute some violence broke out, she would be blamed. And I thought it at the time, and I didn't say anything because I thought, don't give her any more publicity than she needs. But maybe it's time to start saying, no, that's not acceptable. And I think that in the last 24 hours, some of the more reasonable voices have come forward. There is more attention to the victims. The memorial services are tomorrow. The president's going to that. Boehner called off everything in the House. The elected officials have been quite good.
Well, I wanted to ask a little bit, Mayor Kate, about your point that you're saying that, you know, the left is jumping on this. But is the right really different when the Fort Hood shootings occurred and you
right.
have this a Muslim American psychiatrist who did this awful thing? And, you know, there are people on the right who say, oh, this is about Muslim radicalization.
Right.
And so why is that any different as opposed to saying that this is about a man who is mentally ill, or maybe it's about systems? I mean, or is it about, you know what I mean? So is it really, I mean, don't we do both things? Don't
yeah.
we look at the individual and then don't we look at broader systems?
There's something hardwired in us that wants to search for meaning in an inexplicable situation. And I think that's the mistake both sides make, trying to assign a larger story to something that's just inexplicable, senseless, mental illness, whatever you want to call that, of people snapping for no reason.
Having said that, you know, I agree with Mary Kate that there is, as far as we can tell, there is absolutely no reason to believe that the suspect was motivated by politics, by Sarah Palin, by anything else. However, I think it bodes
well
for
know.
All
I mean,
of
why
our.
Why not? I mean, his kind of weird interpretations of constitutionalism. I mean, when he was ejected from a class, one of his math teachers, you know, said, "Look, you're making other students uncomfortable. You're making inappropriate outbursts," and he claimed that his First Amendment rights were being attacked. I mean, so.
Well, I think we have a very troubled guy who was delusional.
And more
so
like the Virginia Tech guy.
I'm not sure that his thinking was that clear or that focused. Having said that, I think it is irresponsible for public officials to use violent martial imagery, period. And there have been Republicans who did that. There have been Democrats who did that. Joe Manchin running for Senate in West Virginia did that. And so I think it would be good for all of our elected officials to put that aside.
But I understand what you're saying about sort of violent imagery, telling people that, you know, maybe they need to get their like Sharon Angle in Nevada said that she hoped people wouldn't pursue Second Amendment solutions, mm-hmm. sort of implying that if you didn't vote for her, then, you know, that was your only recourse. But noteworthy, she was not elected. But the question I have is, what's the line between people expressing what they believe is kind of a serious concern about what they think is a serious issue and demonizing people? And to that end, one issue that's getting some attention, incoming House Homeland Security Committee Chair Peter King has expressed interest in holding hearings concerning the, quote, radicalization of the American Muslim community and homegrown terrorism. And this is a short clip of what he had to say on Fox last month.
I believe it's important to have this investigation on radicalization of the Muslim community. We've seen what happened in England. We know that Al-Qaeda is trying to recruit people over here, such as they did with the subway bombing in New York last year, the attempted subway bombing, Times Square bombing. These are all people living legally in the United States.
And now here, of course, is Congressman Keith Ellison. He was the first Muslim elected to Congress, first Muslim American elected to Congress. And this is what he had to say at the end of December after the piece about Congressman King announcing his intentions ran in Newsday.
We all need to be concerned about violent radicalization, but not just against Muslims, against anybody. What about the guy who flew the plane into the IRS? Or what about the guy who killed a guard at the Holocaust Museum? You know, it is worthwhile to find out what turns somebody into a normal citizen, into a violent radical. But to say we're going to do it only against this community and we're going to change the debate to vilify this community is very scary and clearly has McCarthyistic implications.
So Mary Kate, where is the line between expressing what you believe is a legitimate public policy concern mm-hmm. and then crossing the line into, you know, demonizing people, targeting people? I mean, that's the seems to be, you know, the question. You're saying is it as a former speechwriter, and particularly in your
right.
perspective on this, is it a matter of personalizing it? Or
some of it's personalization. Some of it is taking disagreement and turning it into the equivalent of hatred. And people can disagree and have civil discourse, agree to disagree, without it becoming, a bunch of bomb-throwing rhetoric. So I think, you know, what I did last night was I read Peter King's op-ed in Newsday where he explains his rationalization here. And what he has seen is the success of the counterterrorism movement across the pond, you know, overseas, has led to more homegrown terrorism because they're not overseas, so they're starting here. And I think it's a legitimate concern for the head of Homeland Security Committee to look into what's the biggest threat against the United States, Muslim, you know, extremist terrorism. Over the last 15 months, he points to the New York subway bomb attempt, which was foiled, Fort Hood, the Times Square guy, incidents in Chicago, Texas, Virginia, Portland, Oregon. There's been a lot lately. So I think it's legitimate to say what takes somebody from a law-abiding citizen and turns into a radical.
Well, we're going to hear from Cynthia on this question, but we need to take a short break. And when we come back, we'll have more with Cynthia Tucker, Pulitzer Prize-winning columnist and blogger for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. That wasn't who was just speaking. That was Mary Kate Carey, a columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. She's also a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. They're both kind enough to stick with us for a few more minutes in our Washington, D.C. studio. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Please stay with us. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We are going to talk more about this weekend's tragic events in Tucson that left six people dead and the apparent main target of the attack, a member of the Congress, critically injured. In a few minutes, we'll talk more about the antagonistic language and the imagery that's characterized a number of political campaigns in recent elections. We'll speak with two people who've thought about this. One of them tracks hate speech and hate groups, and the other leads one of the Tea Party groups, which some people feel has amped up the rhetoric considerably, and we'll ask her whether she thinks those criticisms are fair or not. That is later. But first, more with Mary Kate Carey, columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. She's also a former presidential speechwriter. Cynthia Tucker, columnist and blogger for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. They're the regular people we go to talk about all matters politics. And so I wanted to talk about, before we took our break, Mary Kate was saying that she felt that Peter King did have a sort of a legitimate, you know, good faith reason to hold hearings on this whole question of whether there is Islamic fundamentalism and extremism and whether there is an ongoing threat in the United States. So what about Keith Ellison's point, who is a Muslim American, the first Muslim American elected to Congress, who makes the point of, you know, extremists like Joe Stack, who flew his plane into an IRS building and killed, you know.
And Timothy McVeigh.
Unabomber. And Ted Kaczynski,
right,
the
right.
Unabomber, who are not
exactly.
Muslim Americans.
I would be more persuaded by Peter King's argument if, in fact, after the Oklahoma City bombing, Congress had held hearings to determine how many white Christian farm boys held dangerous anti-government views and how they had become so radicalized. There haven't been any hearings on any of the growing number of American-born and bred anti-government groups that have cropped up in the last decade. In fact, when Homeland Security issued a report recently about the rise of dangerous anti-government groups on the right, many conservative activists were outraged that Homeland Security even dared have such a report. So I'm concerned about what Peter King is doing. And I just can't believe that he's going to be able to find out anything useful that the FBI isn't already learning. You know, the FBI is very much on the case on this. And the FBI argues that Muslim Americans, in fact, are very cooperative. When they learn that there are radicals in their midst who are planning attacks, they come forward. They volunteer that information. That's the reason the FBI knows most of what it knows and has been able to stop so many of these attacks. So I worry that Peter King isn't, in fact, demonizing a particular group of Americans.
Let's talk just in the couple of minutes that we have left about, you know, how Congress goes forward after this. And I don't want to imply by that that we need not pay attention to all the other people whose lives have been affected by this terrible tragedy, including, you know, a 9-year-old girl, and mm-hmm. which is almost, you know, unfathomable. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I do want to take a moment to say that, you know, all of the people affected by this and their families are people who are certainly we're thinking about. But we are in Washington. The business of government has to go forward. I'd like to ask, you know, how does Congress proceed after this when they do have some very significant policy and ideological disagreements that they want to move forward on? So, Cynthia, what do they do?
You can disagree without being disagreeable. I think that there is absolutely a lesson in this for Congress. That the rhetoric doesn't have to be heated, that you don't have to demonize each other. Certainly, there are very sharp political and ideological differences, as there should be. But you don't have to question each other's motives. One more thing. I hope they don't go overboard with security. They already have pretty tight security in the People's House. Any visitor has to go through a gauntlet of security. I hope that they don't go so far as to close off Congress even further to visitors. I think that would be a mistake.
And it's true. It's funny. I remember when I first moved to Washington and I lived on the Hill and would go jogging in the evening. And I could actually run into the Capitol building to get a drink of water.
Wow. Those days are gone.
No, totally gone. Mary Kay, final thought from you. How does Congress go forward?
I think you're going to see, because we're operating under divided government, there's going to be a lot more reaching across the aisle, just de facto. I sort of disagree with you, Cynthia, earlier when you were saying you don't think this is going to change the tone in the long run. I kind of think it will. I think there's going to be a lot more thoughtful, nuanced, solution-oriented language and fewer military and weapons metaphors. I don't think anybody's going to go near that right now. No more demon sheep. I think we can be gone from demon sheep forever. And I just have a lot of hope that it's going to be more like my old boss, 41, saying it's a kinder, gentler America. I really think the pendulum is going to start swinging back.
Right, it'd be good to hear from him at a time like this.
Yeah. I bet he's got some very strong opinions on it.
Mary Kay Carey is a columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. She's also a former congressional staffer,
I neglected to mention, and a
former presidential speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. Cynthia Tucker is a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist, a columnist, and blogger for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. She's also celebrating Auburn's victory, national championship football big victory last night. Thank you, ladies. They were both here in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having us.